Let's turn now back to the Gospel of Matthew and to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read together verse 13, the sixth and last petition of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Again, this is the word of our God. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let's pray again briefly together. Our gracious God, please guide us in the study of your word. Guide us by the Holy Spirit. Shape us into the image of Christ, your Son. And Father, glorify yourself as we hear your word, and as you work within our hearts faith and obedience to your word. We pray that you would do these things for the glory of Christ your Son, our exalted Savior seated at your right hand. We do pray this in his name. Amen. In the fifth petition, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, we are asking God to deal with the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Now, in the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are asking God to deal now with the power of sin. In the fifth petition, he deals with the penalty of sin, forgiving us of our debts. And now in the sixth petition, we ask him to deal with the continuing reality of sin in our lives. He forgives us. He saves us from the wages of our sin. But we still sin in this life. And so the Lord Jesus gives to us a petition that deals with that continuing reality of sin in the life of the Christian. And behind the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, there are three foundational assumptions that we need to understand. And so this evening we'll look at each of those three assumptions in turn. And you can see them there printed in your sermon outline on the back of the bulletin. The first assumption is the weakness of our flesh. The weakness of our flesh. Our Lord Jesus would have us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because he knows the weakness of our flesh. He knows the weakness of our flesh far better than we ourselves know the weakness of our flesh. Because he can see into our hearts and he knows the sin that yet remains in each and every one of us. Remember his word to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer assumes the weakness and the frailty of our faith in this life. It assumes that we are vulnerable to temptation. And it assumes that we do, in fact, succumb to temptation because of the weakness of our flesh. And it assumes these things about every single one of us. Jesus doesn't just give the sixth petition to those wishy-washy, weak Christians shivering in fear and huddling together for warmth in the corner. He gives it to every single one of us. He gives it to me and He gives it to you. It is not a sign of Christian maturity to think of oneself as somehow beyond a desperate need for the sixth petition, beyond a desperate need to watch and to pray. That would be actually a sign of great spiritual immaturity. The mature Christian believer humbles himself beneath Jesus' judgment of his spiritual condition, that the spirit is willing, but that the flesh is weak, and the flesh will continue to be weak until we put aside these mortal bodies. Watch and pray, therefore, that you may not enter into temptation. We must have a sober and realistic view of ourselves if we are to enter into a battle against our flesh. The moment we are standing tallest in our pride is the very moment that we are ripest for a fall. And so let us pray with a strongly, urgently felt need every single day, knowing the weakness of our flesh. Our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the second assumption of the sixth petition is the strength of our enemy. And this second assumption serves to augment the first. Not only is our flesh weak, but our enemy is strong. And the first detail that we need to attend to is a discrepancy between different translations of the sixth petition. Some translations say, deliver us from evil. Other translations say, deliver us from the evil one. And actually, the latter is the more correct translation. Deliver us from the evil one. A Greek has two prepositions that mean from. One is used with impersonal objects, like I came from home. Home being an impersonal object. Or where's the bag of stuff that I got from the store? Again, store being an impersonal object. The other preposition is used almost exclusively with reference to people, used for persons, as in, this is a present from Sean, or I picked up this volleyball technique from Ben. Sean and Ben obviously being persons. And the preposition used here in the sixth petition is the latter preposition, the one that takes a personal object. And when evil is referred to using this particular preposition, it isn't just evil as an abstract category that is being referred to, but rather the evil one as a personal being. And in each case where this preposition is used along with the noun for evil, the personal being referred to is the devil. He is the evil one. Listen to this quote from a German theologian writing in the dark wake of World War II and all of its atrocities. Behind the temptations stands the tempter. Behind the lie stands the liar. Behind all the dead and bloodshed stands the murderer from the beginning. In other words, evil is not just some abstract cosmic force. Evil is not the dark side from Star Wars. Evil is personal. Evil is those fallen angels and fallen men who are set in rebellion and in opposition against God and against His anointed. Our great adversary is a very real, personal being who leads an entire host of very real, personal beings who constitute the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. Remember that in Matthew's Gospel, one chapter before the Sermon on the Mount is the temptation of our Lord. Jesus had just encountered Satan in the wilderness and stood firm in his own hour of temptation. And so it's impossible not to see the sixth petition in the immediate light of Jesus' own temptation. He had just done battle with the prince of this world, and he had conquered. And so he prays, he tells his disciples to pray for their own hour of temptation, that God might deliver them from the evil one. He tells us to pray this, knowing that we cannot deliver ourselves in our own strength. First of all, our flesh is in league with Satan and with the world. Our flesh is habitually bent toward allegiance to Satan and rebellion against God. And then add to that the fact that Satan has had millennia and millennia of practice to refine his subtleties in playing to our flesh and exploiting our weaknesses and using them against us. He is intelligent and resourceful and persistent and crafty in all of his workings. He is creative. Resist him from one angle and he will test you from another. He has had lots and lots of experience, and he has lots and lots, many helpers. Unaided, therefore, you stand no chance against such an adversary. Your flesh is weak, and your enemy is strong. However, let's come now to the third assumption of the sixth petition, which, if the first two assumptions constitute the bad news, now we come to the good news. Yes, our enemy is strong, but our Father is infinitely stronger. Our Father is infinitely stronger. The weakness of our flesh, the strength of our enemy, and now the infinite power and glorious purpose of our Father, who is in heaven. Our second assumption can be potentially overstated. Yes, Satan is strong when he is viewed from the vantage point of the weakness of our flesh. But from the vantage point of Christ's exaltation to the right hand of the Father in heaven, Satan is nothing. Our Father has seated Christ at his right hand that he might destroy all his and our enemies. And at his coming again, Jesus will destroy Satan with a word. Our divine champion will speak a word, and Satan will be cast into the lake of fire that has been prepared for him and for all of his workers. Satan is not all-powerful. God alone is all-powerful. Satan is not all-knowing. God alone is all-knowing. Satan is not he who fills all in all. God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is he who fills all in all. And all those trusting in this glorious Almighty God have these promises. Romans 16 and verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. By ourselves we fall, but in Christ we stand. God never exhorts us to rush out into battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil in our own strength, because He knows that we would fall on our own sword before we even engaged the enemy. Precisely the opposite. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, the sixth petition bids us taste and see that the Lord is good. Our Father would have us humble ourselves before Him, submit ourselves to Him, look to His hand for deliverance, and trust in the powerful working of His might in and through Christ, our Savior. And so, a word of caution as you think about fighting temptation. There are many, many books and many, many preachers and teachers that deal with fighting temptation. And there are many, many helpful ideas and helpful techniques out there about how to fight temptation. Memorizing scriptures that deal with your particular areas of strongest temptation. Fleeing situations that might inflame your particular areas of strongest temptation. Having accountability partners to be open and honest with concerning your particular struggles with sin. And on they go. Again, helpful ideas and helpful techniques. However, do these apart from a prayerful reliance on God's grace. And all you're doing is trusting in your own power to save yourself and not in God's power. The first thing Jesus would have us to do before we engage in any techniques or any strategies is humble ourselves before God and pray after the manner in which He has taught us to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you want to know the mighty power of God working on your behalf in your life? Do you want to see the Lord Jesus Christ at work in your heart by the working of His Spirit, shaping you and forming you into His image and giving you strength to stand against the schemes of the devil? Humble yourself before God. Acknowledge that you have nothing within yourself that is sufficient for this spiritual battle. And pray as Jesus has taught you to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The infinite power of our Father. And now as we begin to close, let's think about the glorious purpose of our Father. The glorious purpose of our Father. Does the language of this petition strike you? Father, lead us not into temptation. The implication being, in the plainest sense of the words at least, that God does sometimes lead us into temptation. If, after all, we're praying for Him to not lead us into temptation. What does it mean, then, for God to lead us into temptation? The Bible makes it emphatically clear that it does not mean that God tempts us. James chapter 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Very clear, God tempts no one. What the sixth petition reminds us is actually something that should be a great and glorious comfort to us. And that is that our temptations are not outside the control of God's sovereignty. When we are being tempted, we are not operating somehow in a realm outside the governance of God's sovereign decree. There is no such realm. When we undergo temptation, even then, God is sovereign, and He is directing our paths for His glory and for our salvation. And the key comes again from thinking about Jesus' own temptation in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And again, Jesus is undoubtedly thinking of His own experience here in the Lord's Prayer and telling us to pray that we might be spared such direct conflict with the devil. But Jesus also knows that it is often part of the Father's gracious and glorious purpose to use temptation in our sanctification according to His infinite wisdom. And so immediately after, He tells us to pray, "But deliver us from evil. Father, lead us not into temptation. But if it is in Your sovereign purpose to so lead us, according to Your glorious purpose to use temptation in Your sanctifying work in our hearts, then deliver us from evil." The sixth petition is a prayer that God would keep us from temptation only insofar as that is His good pleasure to do so. Adding then that if it is not His good pleasure to keep us from temptation, that He would then protect us and keep us, guard us and deliver us from the evil one. Ultimately, this prayer has its eyes fixed on the last great day. And it is a prayer that God would guard us by faith through all of our wrestlings with the flesh and with the world and with the devil throughout our lives, and bring us at the last safely home into His eternal kingdom, that we might dwell in the house of God forever. Perhaps you've been struggling with some sin, and it's been a hard-fought battle. There have been some victories, but there have also been plenty of losses along the way. And maybe the thought has crept into your head, if I am really a Christian, why is this so incredibly difficult? Why am I experiencing such desperate conflict against this sin? Why is this fight so hard? Brother or sister, these are actually good signs. Those are signs of spiritual life in you. Because unbelievers don't have these struggles. And they don't have them because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have these struggles because there is no Spirit within them making them war against the flesh. You struggle because the new man that you are in Christ and the new life that you have from the Holy Spirit are engaged in a holy war against the sin that yet remains in your heart. If you did not have the Holy Spirit, then you would be comfortable in your sin. You may have some disturbances over the consequences of your sins, but you would not grieve over the presence of sin in your heart. And so keep praying the sixth petition. Keep entrusting yourself to God and keep trusting in Him that He is a wise and a gracious Father. And He has foreordained these temptations that you face for His own glory, that He might be magnified in grace through your salvation. Our flesh is weak and our enemy is strong, but our Father is infinitely stronger, and He is infinitely glorious in His grace and in His wisdom. And so never stop calling on Him and casting your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Again, in the fifth petition, we ask God to deal with the penalty of sin. And here in the sixth petition, we ask God to deal now with the power of sin. And both of these petitions are the pledge and promise of God that one day He will finish this process of restoration and deliver us not only from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin, but He will deliver us from the very presence of sin. On the day when Jesus Christ calls us to Himself in the consummated kingdom of glory. And Lord willing, we will meditate further on this glorious kingdom when we come to the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we do praise You that the Lord Jesus has given to us a pattern of prayer that deals with the difficult realities of the Christian life. The realities that sin yet abides in our heart, and that we have an enemy who wars against us throughout this life. And Father, we praise You that the sixth petition teaches us to cast ourselves upon the powerful working of Your might. And that it teaches us to look to our Savior and to trust in Him. To trust in the Lord and in the powerful working of His might. We praise You that we have a Savior who has promised to not only subdue, but at the last to finally defeat and cast down all His and our enemies. And so even as we pray the sixth petition in our daily battle against sin, we do anxiously look forward to our deliverance from the very presence of sin. And so again, as we prayed this morning, so we pray again this evening. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We ask this, Father, in our Savior's name and for His glory. Amen.